A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning. KSL News Time is 5:30 and our top story this half hour.
Utah's Water Watch. Special coverage on KSL News Radio.
Over 700 inches. That's the amount of snow recorded this season at a Utah resort. And we aren't done yet. KSL News Radio's Adam Small begins our live team coverage, Utah's Water Watch. Adam?
Tim, Brighton Resort has officially passed 700 inches of snow this winter. To put that in perspective, that's the weight equivalent if you stacked 10 cars on top of each other. According to Ski Utah, this is the earliest a resort has ever eclipsed the 700-inch plateau since they began recording totals back in 1943. As part of the celebration later this week, you'll actually see a 700-inch banner displayed on the Hyatt Regency Hotel in downtown Salt Lake City. And that's not the only milestone we're getting word of this morning. I just spoke with Monica Traphagen, a meteorologist at the National Weather Service, just moments ago. She told me that that Utah's snow water equivalent has gone up about a half inch with this last system. We were at 23.8 inches yesterday. Now we're at 24.4. We're now about an inch and a half away from the 1983 all-time record. So it's just keeps going. Reporting live, Adam Small, KSL News Radio.
Yeah, this is heavy stuff, too. All the water is great to help reduce the drought, but for many, they'd like to see some sunshine. KSL News Radio's Lindsay Ertz continues our team coverage, Utah's Water Watch.
Some are grateful for these storms.
I love it. Any water we can get.
Others are annoyed. The calendar says spring, but the weather certainly doesn't.
Want to plant our garden?
Want to ride bikes outside more? Walk. Hike without mud and ice more?
And all this clothes?
Some people are feeling both.
We really do need the snow.
We do.
And the water.
Yeah.
We need it, but I'm tired of it.
We're in for more wet storms starting up again today, something this man says we should remember come August.
Remember when it was August and we had consecutive days of 100-plus degree temperature? Does that say it?
Lindsay Ertz, KSL News Radio.
Of course, flooding remains a major concern with all this snow as well. KSL TV's Andrew Adams has more from Cottonwood Heights.
Little Cottonwood Creek is usually calm.
Everything's wonderful about it except when it floods.
David Lehman only wished he felt calm lately, trudging along these banks.
This is getting plugged up.
Debris has snarled up the creek in multiple places, leaving him anxious about what will happen when the spring runoff starts.
Andrew reached out to the Salt Lake County Emergency Management Team, which says they're hoping people will report potential problems so they can get crews out to take care of them. Now our top national stories this hour. Chinese President Xi Jinping is holding a second day of talks today with Vladimir Putin. Speaking through a translator, a Chinese foreign ministry spokesperson told reporters the two leaders discussed Ukraine.
President Xi stressed that voices for peace and rationality are building.
The two countries are representing a united front just days after the International Criminal Court issued war crimes arrest warrant for Putin. The Federal Reserve set to begin its two-day meeting today with a new potential crisis on its hands.
The Federal Reserve has been laser-focused on inflation, raising interest rates in order to rein in spending and cool off an overheated economy, and it's been trying to do that without spiraling the country into a recession. Now, though, the FOMC is dealing with fears of a banking crisis following the collapse of Silicon Valley Bank. The higher interest rates resulted in the bank taking losses on some of its investments. That has analysts, including Goldman Sachs, saying that worries about the health of the banking system will result in the Fed pausing interest rate hikes following this month's meeting. Mark Remillard, ABC News.
We have some new details about a Colorado dentist accused of murdering his wife. Police think that dentist James Craig bought chemicals at work to use as poison.
Police say they focused on James after his coworker told a nurse James had placed an order for potassium cyanide, which they did not need at the office. James allegedly Googled questions like, is arsenic detectable in autopsy? According to the affidavit, he was having an affair and was reportedly struggling financially. Text messages with his wife weeks before her death revealed a possible strain in their relationship. Angela complained that, my head feels funny and dizzy, and even wrote, I feel drugged. James replied, given our history, I know that must be triggering. Just for the record, I didn't drug you.
ABC's Andrew Dimbert reporting. Time for that first look traffic check here with Andy Farnsworth.
Tim, right now I-15 rolling into Salt Lake City without any crashes. Wet roads, though, haven't played too significant a factor yet, although if you're going into Parley's, you'll see reduced speeds, especially over Parley's Summit in both directions. And both Big and Little Cottonwood Canyons are open with restrictions, and that's the same thing on the Alpine Loop. It's open, but they will require restrictions on the Alpine Loop near Sundance. I'm Andy Farnsworth in the KSL Traffic Center.
The political world is focused on Manhattan today and the investigation into former President Trump.
Manhattan District Attorney Alvin Bragg is considering whether to charge Trump with falsifying documents in connection with the hush money payment to porn star Stormy Daniels before the 2016 election. Attorney and Trump ally Robert Costello appeared before the grand jury yesterday at the request of Trump's lawyers, hoping to offer evidence that contradicts testimony from Michael Cohen. Cohen spent more than a year in prison after pleading guilty to campaign finance violations, admitting he helped arrange the payment to Stormy Daniels at Trump's direction.
ABC's Justin Finch reporting. The nation's second largest school district is closed today because workers are out on strike.
Los Angeles Unified, LAUSD, has over 1,000 schools here and over 600,000 students. A union representing workers like custodians, bus drivers, and cooks is now officially on strike, and teachers are joining them in solidarity. The union wanting members to get a 30% pay raise. LAUSD Superintendent Alberto Carvalho says a district has given, but the union won't budge.
This strike could have been avoided, but it cannot be avoided without parties at the table.
And so today, parents here are scrambling for child care. Alex Stone, ABC News, Los Angeles.
And the Supreme Court will have to decipher how cryptocurrency works as it hears a case about customers who are not happy with how one company handled their online cash.
There are many upcoming cryptocurrency regulation cases trying to get to the Supreme Court, but today's hearing isn't one of them. Instead, it involves Coinbase Global customers saying they should be allowed to sue the company instead of having an independent arbitration. Among those suing, one man saying Coinbase should reimburse him more than $30,000 he lost to a scammer, the other claiming the company didn't tell them they didn't have to buy or sell anything to enter a contest.
That is ABC's Andy Field reporting from Washington. I was just flashing back to February when Justice Elena Kagan said, "We are a court. We really don't know about these things. We are not like the nine greatest experts on the internet." And now they're going to have to sort out what cryptocurrency really is all about. There's a learning curve here.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andrea Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at kslpodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.